You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. Aren't you glad? Hey, how's it going, everybody? Well, the first thing I want to tell you is you'll never believe it. YouTube, I had a backup channel for YouTube, and they've been hitting my videos and restricting them and everything. Well, they just came and hit two videos, and I'm not able to upload to the channel anymore, which means all they got to do is hit the last video. There's a certain fellow that we speak about from time to time that said, say goodbye to your YouTube channel. And he's supposed to be a pastor. And what a joke that is. But that's as much as I wish to say about it. So YouTube is gone. And I have another channel out on the Real Video. I also have a BitChute video channel, and I post all my things to Patreon, David James Boston on Patreon. But posting all my shows onto davidjamesboston.com in the archive section. So no matter what YouTube does, you still have a way to get to my shows, to listen to them. You can download them from there. You can collect them, preserve them. Speaking of that, I wish to thank a few people that have donated as of recently. Thank you so much. I need this help, and I appreciate it so much. I can't tell you how much. I just can tell you that so much. And one way people are supporting me right now is you can get all of the Compere, collection that I have preserved, from the regular tapes, not from the main ministry. Those wouldn't be in my possession. I couldn't do this, but since I cleaned these up, the whole Compere collection, including the 14 parts of Revelation. What I've been including is Eli and I did a 14 part of Revelation on the 1-to-1 radio show, so I've been including that on there. It's a 16 gig flash drive, and it's a nice small one. It's called a cruiser. So it's tiny. It's like the size of, you know how you have a mouse wireless mouse, and you just put the little receiver inside your USB port. Well, that's how big it is. And it's really awesome because, if you put it in your car or you put it in your computer, whatever it might be, it doesn't stick out so that you bash it off and destroy it. Anyhow, I fill it with as much as I can, for the most part, and I mail it to you. So it requires a, decent donation. Usually people would give $100 for something like that. Because you're getting the drive, you can use the drive, you can take the shows, put them on several computers, or put them on, DVDs to preserve them. And then you can use the drive however you wish to, over and over and over again. I would tell you about these drives, though. These little drives that you have these days, you want to eject them. You don't just want to pull them out of your computer. You want to go to the drive on my PC where you see the C drive and all those, and you right-click it, and you just say eject. And then it'll come up with this little message saying, hardware is safe to remove now. I recommend you do that. That's the way of doing it without causing any problems. So if you're interested in that, email me at davidjamesboston@gmail.com. All right. I hate all this, talk about all this stuff. However, some people are doing that, and one fellow says he likes it already. He's very excited about it. That way there, we have this collection preserved in several places across the country. And if YouTube decides to take things down, which they did, we still have it, you see? See, if something happened to me, then where would it be? So now some people have it. And so I encourage you to do that. If you wish to help me, that's a way of helping me and helping preserve that, you know, that collection for the time being, unless I can get to, you know, eventually. But I wouldn't be able to do that with the, if I was to do the tapes for Mike Hallamore, I would have to, those wouldn't be my personal possession. I would just be doing that. Remember what I was talking about from the original reel-to-reel tapes? Yeah, but those wouldn't be mine, and I wouldn't have the rights to doing anything like that, and wouldn't. So, that aside, Eli and Cole were just here, two brothers, very nice fellows. They just came here and we did some work. We got a whole bunch of work done. Of course, I learned quite a bit. We worked very hard too, and it was very fruitful and very satisfying when you see what you have accomplished. The company was great. The food was great. The work ethic was great. The, you know, teamwork was great as well. Nothing like white people working together, because there's nothing like it on the planet. It's just one of the most wonderful things that the Father gives us. It's a, you know how they say male bonding or something like that? It's something like that. However, the Wonder Dog is doing okay. Elky the Wonder Dog, she's kicking right along. I wanted to give you a little piece of advice. Something interesting today. I was going to tell you how I had had such a wonderful success. Elky, as she goes through the yard, she sniffs everything, of course. And she came upon a yellow jacket nest. It's a hole in the ground. And it was kind of humorous because when she came near it, they'd start chasing her. And one time she grabbed one into her mouth and didn't know what was going to happen there. And as you can see, I think she might have got a little pinch. So I went out early in the morning and I poured bleach down that hole, and it seemed to have killed it. But all of a sudden, this is about three weeks later, maybe, all of a sudden I see a few of them around there today. So I'm going to go hit it the second time and see what happens. But I thought it was quite interesting because bleach, they definitely don't like that, I'm sure. But you got to do it early in the morning. You can't do it while they're hanging around the outside of the thing. You got to kind of hit them when the dew's on the grass, if you dig what I'm saying. So, that's what's going on. We're going to continue in the book of Jasher. I'm excited about this. I've been enjoying the scripture, enjoying the learning curve. And I like to hear from you. So, we were talking near the end of last week's show about Ishmael. So it says in verse 12, I believe, let me see what chapter we're in, so if, in case you want to participate, chapter 21. This is after they had celebrated the birth of Isaac, you know, and then some time had gone by. And Ishmael, the son of Abraham, grew up in those days, and he was 14 years old when Sarah bare Isaac to Abraham. And God was with Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and he grew up and he learned to use the bow and became an archer. And when Isaac was 5 years old, he was sitting with Ishmael at the door of the tent, And Ishmael came to Isaac and seated himself opposite to him. And he took the bow and drew it and put an arrow in it and intended to slay Isaac. Now, remember what happens. You've got Cain that killed Abel. Cain was a half-son, and he was a half-brother of Abel. Abel was the real deal. You've got Jacob and Esau. Esau wanted to kill Jacob. You have Isaac and Ishmael, and here we see Ishmael wanted to kill Isaac. This is all the continuation of our race. These are all key players in the bloodline. And the devil has made his way of seeing that this would happen. Then when the father tells Abraham to sacrifice his own son, which is what the devil should have wanted in the first place, I want you to notice something. Something I'm thinking on the spot. Now, the devil wanted to kill our race, right? And he did it by doing it with Eve, so to speak. And then his son, and so on and so forth, as I just spoke of. But this time, you should think that he would be for Abraham killing Isaac, because that would cut off the race, would it not? In matter of fact, this time, he tries to encourage, he comes in the guise of a comely young man to Isaac, which we'll see in a future chapter here soon. And he comes to Abraham as well. And Abraham rebukes the devil because Abraham knows what to do with the devil. He just knows. He didn't need anybody to school him on it. He knew. So it's very interesting that the devil would not want Isaac to be slain at that time, yet he wanted him slain here. Isn't this interesting? And Sarah saw the act which Ishmael desired to do to her son Isaac, and it grieved her exceedingly on account of her son. And she sent for Abraham and said to him, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, and her son shall not be heir with my son, for thus did he seek to do unto him this day." And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah, and he rose up early in the morning, and he took 12 loaves and a bottle of water, which he gave to Hagar, and sent her away with her son. And Hagar went with her son into the wilderness, and they dwelt in the wilderness of Paran with the inhabitants of the wilderness. And Ishmael was an archer, and he dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And he and his mother afterward went to the land of Egypt, and there they dwelt. And Hagar took a wife for her son from Egypt, and her name was Meribah. And the wife of Ishmael conceived and bare 4 sons and 2 daughters. And Ishmael and his mother and wife and children afterward went and returned to the wilderness. And they made themselves tents in the wilderness, in which they dwelt, and they continued to travel, and then to rest monthly and yearly. And Yahweh gave Ishmael flocks and herds and tents on account of Abraham his father, and the man increased in cattle. And Ishmael dwelt in deserts and in the tents, traveling and resting for a long time, and he did not see the face of his father. And in some time after, Abraham said to his wife, "I will go and see my son Ishmael, for I have desired to see him, for I have not seen him for a long time." And Abraham rode upon one of his camels to the wilderness to seek his son Ishmael, for he heard that he was dwelling in a tent in the wilderness with all belonging to him. And Abraham went to the wilderness, and he reached the tent of Ishmael about noon, and he asked after Ishmael, and he found his wife, he found the wife of Ishmael sitting in the tent with her children. And Ishmael, her husband, and his mother were not with them. And Abraham asked the wife of Ishmael, saying, "Where has Ishmael gone?" And she said, "He has gone to the field to hunt." And Abraham was still mounted upon the camel, for he would not get off the ground, as he had sworn to his wife Sarah that he would not get off from the camel. And Abraham said to Ishmael's wife, "My daughter, give me a little water that I may drink, for I am fatigued from the journey." And Ishmael's wife answered and said to Abraham, "We neither have water nor bread." And she continued sitting in the tent and did not notice Abraham, neither did she ask him who he was. But she was beating her children in the tent, and she was cursing them. And she also cursed her husband Ishmael and reproached him. And Abraham heard the words of Ishmael's wife to her children, and he was very angry and displeased. And Abraham called to the woman to come out from the tent, and the woman came and stood opposite to Abraham, for Abraham was still mounted upon the camel. And Abraham said to Ishmael's wife, "When thy husband Ishmael returneth home, say these words to him: A very old man from the land of Philistines came hither to seek thee, and thus was his appearance and figure. I did not ask him who he was, and seeing thou wast not here, he spoke unto me and said, When Ishmael thy husband returneth, tell him thus. Did this man say, When thou comest home, putteth away this nail of the tent which thou hast placed here, and place another nail in its stead." In other words, get rid of this horrible woman and replace her. And Abraham finished his instructions to the woman, and he turned and went off on the camel homeward. And after that, Ishmael came from the chase, he and his mother, and returned to the tent, and his wife spoke these words to him: "A very old man from the land of Philistines, came to seek thee, and thus was his appearance and figure. I did not ask him who he was, and seeing thou wast not at home, he said to me, When thy husband cometh home, tell him, Thus saith the old man, Put away the nail of the tent which thou hast placed here, and place another nail in its stead." And Ishmael heard the words of his wife, and he knew that it was his father, and that his wife did not honor him. And Ishmael understood his father's words that he had spoken to his wife. And Ishmael hearkened to the voice of his father. And Ishmael cast off that woman, and she went away. And Ishmael afterward went to the land of Canaan, and he took another wife, and he brought her to his tent to the place where he then dwelt. At the end of 3 years, Abraham said, "I will go again and see Ishmael, my son, for I have not seen him for a long time." And he rode upon his camel and went to the wilderness, and he reached the tent of Ishmael about noon. And he asked after Ishmael, and his wife came out of the tent, and she said, "He is not here, my lord, for he has gone to hunt in the fields and to feed the camels." And the woman said to Abraham, "Turn in, my lord, into the tent to eat a morsel of bread, for thy soul must be wearied on account of the journey." And Abraham said, "I will not stop, for I am in haste to continue my journey, but give me a little water to drink, for I have thirst." And the woman hastened and ran into the tent, and she brought out the water and bread to Abraham, which she placed before him, and she urged him to eat. And he ate and drank, and his heart was comforted, and he blessed his son Ishmael. And he finished his meal, and he blessed Yahweh, and he said to Ishmael's wife, "When Ishmael cometh home, saith these words to him: A very old man from the land of Philistines came hither to ask after thee, and thou wast not here. And I brought him out bread and water, and he ate and drank, and his heart was comforted. And he spoke these words to me. When Ishmael thy husband cometh home, say unto him, the nail of the tent which thou hast is very good. Do not put it away from the tent. And Abraham finished commanding the woman, and he rode off home to the land of the Philistines. And when Ishmael came to his tent, the wife went forth to meet him with joy and a cheerful heart. And she said unto him, an old man came here from the land of Philistines, and thus was his appearance. And he asked after thee, and thou wast not here. So I brought out bread and water, and he ate and drank, and his heart was comforted. And he spoke these words to me, when Ishmael thy husband cometh home, saith unto him, the nail of the tent which thou hast is very good. Do not put it away from the tent. And Ishmael knew that it was his father, and that his wife had honored him, and Yahweh blessed Ishmael. See, the nail of the tent keeps the tent in place. And it keeps it from falling in. And it keeps it, the inside of the tent, in the form of a woman, you see? It's very interesting. Let me have a little sip of coffee, if you don't mind. A little sip, he says. Chapter 22, Jasher. And Ishmael then rose up and took his wife and his children and his cattle and all belonging to him. And he journeyed from there, and he went to his father in the land of Philistines. And Abraham related to Ishmael, his son, the transaction with the first wife that Ishmael took according to what she did. And Ishmael and his children dwelt with Abraham many days in that land, and Abraham dwelt in the land of the Philistines a long time. And the days increased and reached 26 years. And after that, Abraham, with his servants and all belonging to him, went from the land of the Philistines and removed to a great distance. And they came near to Hebron, and they remained there. And the servants of Abraham dug wells of water, and Abraham and all belonging to him dwelt by the water. And the servants of Abimelech, king of the Philistines, heard the report that Abraham's servants had dug wells of water in the borders of the land. And they came and quarreled with the servants of Abraham, and they robbed them of the great well which they had dug. Now, something's wrong with this because the king had told him he could do whatever he wanted and live wherever he wanted. And Abimelech, king of the Philistines, heard of this affair. And he, with Phicol, the captain of his host, and 20 of his men, came to Abraham. And Abimelech spoke to Abraham concerning his servants. And Abraham rebuked Abimelech concerning the well of which his servants had robbed him. And Abimelech said to Abraham, as Yahweh liveth, who created the whole earth, I did not hear of an act which my servants did unto thy servants until this day. And Abraham took 7 ewe lambs and gave them to Abimelech, saying, take these, I pray thee, from my hands, that it may be a testimony for me that I dug this well. And Abimelech took the 7 ewe lambs which Abraham had given to him, for he had also given him cattle and herds in abundance. And Abimelech swore to Abraham concerning the well, therefore he called that well Beersheba, for there they both swore concerning it. And they both made a covenant in Beersheba, and Abimelech rose up with Phicol, the captain of his host, and all of his men, and they returned to the land of the Philistines, and Abraham and all belonging to him dwelt in Beersheba, and he was in that land a long time. And Abraham planted a large grove in Beersheba, where he made it to four gates facing the four sides of the earth. Aha! You know what that might mean? The New Jerusalem, so to speak. Four gates on each side. One for each of the tribes of Israel. And listen, and he planted a vineyard in it, so that if a traveler came to Abraham, he entered any gate which was in his road and remained there and ate and drank and satisfied himself, and then he departed. For the house of Abraham was always open to the sons of men that passed and repassed, who came daily to eat and drink in the house of Abraham. And any man who had hunger and came to Abraham's house, Abraham would give him bread that he might eat and drink and be satisfied. And any one that came naked to his house, he would clothe with garments as he might choose, and give him silver and gold, and make known to him Yahweh, who had created him in the earth. This did Abraham all his life. Boy, he'd have a real tough time with that these days. And Abraham and his children and all belonging to them or to him dwelt in Beersheba, and he pitched his tent as far as Hebron. And Abraham's brother Nahor and his father and all belonging to them dwelt in Haran, for they did not come with Abraham to the land of Canaan. And the children were born to Nahor, which Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the sister to Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare to him. And these are the names of those that were born unto him: Uz, Buzz Aldrin, Uz, Buzz, Kemuel, Kesed, Chazo, Pildash, Tidlaf, and Bethuel, being eight sons. These are the children of Milcah, which she bare to Nahor, Abraham's brother. And Nahor had a concubine, and her name was Rumah, and she also bare to Nahor Zebach, Gashash, Tashash, and Maacah, being four sons. And the children that were born to Nahor were 12 sons, besides his daughters, and they also had children born to them in Haran. And the children of Uz, the firstborn of Nahor, were Abi, Cheref, Gadin, Malas, and Deborah, their sister. And the sons of Buzz were Barachel, Naamath, Sheva, and Madonu. And the sons of Kemuel were Aram and Reshab. And the sons of Kesed were Amalek, Meshai, Benon, and Yiphi. And the sons of Chazo and Pildash, Mechi and Ophir. And the sons of Pildash were Arud, Chamam, Mered, and Moloch. Oh, I don't like that one, huh? And the sons of Tidlaf were Mushan, Cushan, and Mutzi. And the children of Bethuel were Sekar, Laban, and their sister Rebekah. These are the families of the children of Nahor that were born to them in Haran. And Aram, the son of Kemuel, and Rechab, his brother, went away from Haran, and they found a valley in the land of the river Euphrates. And they built a city there, and they called the name of the city after the name of Pethor, the son of Aram, that is Aram Naharaim, unto this day. And the children of Kesed also went to dwell where they could find a place, and they went and they found a valley opposite to the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And there they built themselves a city, and they called the name of the city Kesed, after the name of their father. That is the land Kazdim unto this day. And The Chasdim dwelt in the land, and they were fruitful and multiplied exceedingly. And Terah, father of Nahor and Abraham, went and took another wife in his old age, and her name was Peleah. And she conceived and bare him a son, and called his name Zoba. And Terah lived 25 years after he begat Zoba. And Terah died in that year. That is the 35th year of the birth of Isaac, son of Abraham. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and he was buried in Haran. And Zoba the son of Terah lived 30 years and begat Aram, Achlis, and Merik. See, these aren't Jewish names. See what I mean? You don't hear any Jews today that have names like this right here. These are Israelite names. And Aram, the son of Zoba, son of Terah, had 3 wives and begat 12 sons and 3 daughters. And Yahweh gave Aram, the son of Zoba, riches and possessions, and abundance of cattle, and flocks and herds, and the man increased greatly. And Aram, the son of Zoba, and his brother, and all his household, journeyed from Haran, and they went to dwell where they could find a place, for their property was too great to remain in Haran. For they could not stop in Haran together with their brethren and the children of Nahor. And Aram, the son of Zoba, and his brother and all the household journeyed from Haran, and they went to dwell where they could find a place, for their property was too great to remain in Haran. Yes. And Aram, the son of Zoba, went with his brethren, and they found a valley in the distance toward the eastern country, and they dwelt there. And they built a city there, and they also called it the name thereof Aram, after the name of their eldest brother, that is Aram Zoba to this day. And Isaac, the son of Abraham, was growing in those days, and Abraham his father taught him the way of Yahweh and to know Yahweh, and Yahweh was with him. And when Isaac was 37 years old, Ishmael his brother was going about with him in the tent. And Ishmael boasted of himself to Isaac, saying, I was 13 years old when Yahweh spoke to my father to circumcise us, and I did according to the word of Yahweh which he spoke to my father. And I gave my soul unto Yahweh, and I did not transgress his word which he commanded my father. And Isaac answered Ishmael, saying, Why dost thou boast to me about this, about a little bit of thy flesh which thou didst take from thy body, concerning which Yahweh commanded thee? As Yahweh liveth, the God of my father Abraham, if Yahweh should say unto my father, Take now thy son Isaac and bring him up an offering before me, I would not refrain, but I would joyfully accede to it. Wow, I didn't know that. Did you? Have you ever heard this before? Very interesting. This is verse 44. So what you're seeing here is, you're seeing that Isaac is saying to Ishmael that if his dad was to take him up as an offering for Yahweh, that he would not refrain but joyfully accede to it, which of course he did and did keep his word. And Yahweh heard the word of Isaac spoke to Ishmael, and it seemed good in the sight of Yahweh, and he thought to try Abraham in this matter. Out of the mouth of babes, ladies and gentlemen, right? Well, he wasn't a babe, but you dig? And the day arrived when the sons of God came and placed themselves before Yahweh. And Satan also came with the sons of God before Yahweh. And Yahweh said to Satan, Whence comest thou? And Satan answered Yahweh and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And Yahweh said to Satan, what is thy word to me concerning all the children of the earth? And Satan answered Yahweh and said, I have seen all the children of the earth who serve thee and remember thee when they require anything from thee. And when thou givest them the thing which they require from me, they sit at their ease and forsake thee and remember thee no more. Is that not true, though? That is true. Not for everybody, though. But that is true of a good deal of people. However, this is causing problems. I've never read this before. And I suspect that many of you haven't either. Is this not interesting? Seriously. Hast thou seen Abraham, the son of Terah, who at first had no children, and he served thee and erected altars to thee wherever he came, and he brought up offerings upon them, and he proclaimed thy name continually to all the children of the earth? And now that his son Isaac is born to him, he has forsaken thee. He has made a great feast for all the inhabitants of the land, and Yahweh he has forgotten. For amidst all that he has done, he brought thee no offering, neither burnt offering nor peace offering, neither ox nor lamb nor goat of all that he killed on the day that his son was weaned. Even from the time of his son's birth till now, being 37 years old, he built no altar before thee, nor brought any offering to thee, for he saw that thou didst give what he requested before thee, and he therefore forsook thee. That's not true, of course. But this is what the accuser of the brethren does. Remember that this devil was told to worship the son of Yahweh, who was Adam. Right? And he said, I will not worship him. I'm an older being than he is. He should worship me. And so, like his children, he accuses others of what he's guilty of, you see. Once he gets what he wants, he forgets the Father. And Yahweh said to Satan, hast thou thus considered my servant Abraham? For there is none like him upon the earth, a perfect and upright man before me, one that feareth me, I'll say, it says God, and avoideth evil. As I live, where I say unto him, bring up Isaac thy son before me, he would not withhold him from me, much more if I told him to bring up a burnt offering before me from his flock or herds. Now, let me interject a little something here that's interesting. We're seeing another angle from what I had told you before, that I believe that this connection, if Abraham had not been obedient in offering up his son when Yahweh requested it, that Yahweh would have had to, we would have had to wait for a long time perhaps for somebody else to do such a thing in order. Because Abraham did it, Yahweh himself came as the Son to be our Redeemer, to be the blood sacrifice. For there is no remission of sins without the shedding of blood, you understand? And here's your other angle here. You see, the devil was accusing him. Abraham had always been faithful and always done these blood offerings, but even at this time when his son was born, praise Yahweh, this is going to blow your socks off. I mean, your mind. I shouldn't say socks, but your mind. This is absolutely remarkable what I'm going to tell you right this minute. It was like Abraham knew that when Isaac was born, that he did not have to do those sacrifices any longer. So he didn't do them anymore. And this typification, this same thing happened when Yahweh came down as the Christ and died on the cross, or the post. I know people get all crazy about all these things. The sacrifice was ended at that time when his son was born, you see, when his son died, I mean, you know what I mean? So you can see the parallel there, which is very, very clear. Can't you? That the law continued, and we are to obey Yahweh. He that loveth me and keepeth my commandments, him will I. You know what I mean? He that is an overcomer. So the law's not gone, but that portion of the law is gone. You understand? Isn't it interesting that when his son came, he didn't do those things any longer? If Yahweh wished it to continue, he would have said something, would he not have? It wasn't bothering Yahweh in any form or fashion. But this filthy devil had his eye on everything, and he was plying against Abraham. You understand what I mean? Accusing. We have accusers today accusing us of many things. But they have no right to accuse because they are the ones that are evil. They are the ones that should be accused and should be accusing no one. Don't you find this interesting? So, Ishmael gave Yahweh the idea. Then the devil was speaking with the father, and he asked his opinion on what was going on in the earth. And, of course, the accuser began to accuse. So, verse 55, and Satan answered Yahweh and said, speak then now unto Abraham, as thou hast said, and thou wilt see whether he will not this day transgress and cast aside thy words. Okay. Now, this is good that I said what I said earlier, because this is very interesting how this chapter is ending. I asked you, Why did the devil want Ishmael to kill Isaac and all the other people? But when it was time for Abraham to kill Isaac, the devil did not wish this to happen. Well, you've just got your answer. You see, he does not want Abraham to obey. He has accused Abraham of disobedience and of turning his back on the Father, as he has accused all the people of the earth as well. But the Father knows all about Abraham, does he not? He's walked with him, talked with him, and has watched everything he's been up to. He has blessed him for his obedience. And this devil is going to be angry when he obeys Yahweh. Now, let's take a little parallel right from that right now. Who gets upset when you obey Yahweh? Why, the Pharisees do. Why, the accusers of the brethren do. Why, the Jews, which are the offspring of the devil, get upset. They get upset because they're trying to make you disobey in every way they possibly can, knowingly and unknowingly. People are eating pig all the time. And they don't know that it's killing them. It's making them into whales. It's making their bodies into an inhabitable temple for the Holy Spirit. Uninhabitable. Okay? You have your answer. The answer is, if there's one thing the devil does not want you to do, is he does not wish you to obey the Father in heaven under any circumstances. And this one was key. Remember what I'm telling you now. You will see coming up, I believe it could be this next chapter. And we'll continue with that in a minute or two. We'll take a quick break, but I want you to think about what's happening here. This devil now has to intervene in the opposite. It's almost like the Father's playing games with this devil. Usually this devil would want to kill the bloodline, right? And has tried to do so several times, and even after this. This time, the Father's got him turned around trying to stop it. He's playing games. He's toying with the devil. But he's also testing the devil, testing Abraham, and also testing to see if Isaac really will do what he said he would. So, I want you to think about that for a while.
Today, calling, calling on Yahweh's holy army, and I'm calling, calling on them to pray. Standing, standing on Yahweh's holy mountain, and we're watchmen, watchmen on the wall today. Calling, calling on Yahweh's holy soldiers, and I'm calling, calling on them today. Get off the fence now, you've got to choose. Well, that's a win now, brother, or whether you want to lose. Make up your mind now, and do it real, real soon. Study all the scriptures, and begin to sing in tune. Calling, calling on Yahweh's holy soldiers, and I'm calling, calling on them today. Calling, calling on Yahweh's holy army, and I'm calling, calling for them to pray. Standing, standing on Yahweh's holy mountain, and watchmen, watchmen on the wall today. Calling, calling on Yahweh's holy soldiers, and I'm calling, calling on them today.
You know the time is right now. Right now, right away.
Yes, I know it.
Put on all your armor, soldier, and don't you be afraid.
Ooh, ooh, yeah.
You got the right now. Speak your mind today.
I pray,
never give a place to evil, and don't you go astray.
Well, all right. You're back here now, ladies and gentlemen, on the Eurofolk Radio Network, here at eurofolkradio.com. You're listening to the Saxon's Creed Radio Show, and I'm your host, David James. Glad to be with you, as always. Hope you're learning. I know I am. And let's continue. I mean, this is very exciting to me. I hope it is for you. We're going to be going into chapter 23. So, and at that time the word of Yahweh came to Abraham, and he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said to him, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which shall be shown to thee. For there wilt thou see a cloud and the glory of Yahweh. Okay, so I remember hearing about that cloud before and not realizing that that was the glory of Yahweh. So keep that in the back of your mind. That's what he said. He said that he was to take Isaac to the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which shall be shown to thee, for there wilt thou see a cloud and the glory of Yahweh. So the cloud will accompany the glory of Yahweh, the light, I would assume, right? And Abraham said within himself, How shall I separate my son Isaac from Sarah his mother, in order to bring him up for a burnt offering before Yahweh? And Abraham came into the tent, and he sat before Sarah his wife, and he spoke these words to her. My son Isaac is grown up, and he has not for some time studied the service of his God. Now tomorrow I will go and bring him to Shem and Eber his son, and there he will learn the ways of Yahweh, for they will teach him to know Yahweh, as well as to know that when he prayeth continually before Yahweh, he will answer him. Therefore, he will know the way of serving Yahweh his God. I want to stop right there. Pay attention to this time. Maybe you were drifting, but now come back and let's tune in. You ready? I want you to listen carefully. I will go and bring him to Shem and Eber his son. And there he will learn the ways of Yahweh. What are the ways of Yahweh? Listen. For they will teach him to know Yahweh. Listen. As well as to know that when he prayeth continually before Yahweh, he will answer him. Therefore, he will know the way of serving Yahweh his God. That's a lot of power packed in that verse, folks. Verse 6, and Sarah said, Thou hast spoken well. Go, my Lord, and do unto him as thou hast said. But remove him not a great distance from me, neither let him remain there too long, for my soul is bound within his soul. And Abraham said to Sarah, My daughter, let us pray to Yahweh our God that he may do good with us. And Sarah took her son Isaac, and he abode all that night with her, and she kissed and embraced him and gave him instructions till morning. And she said to him, O my son, how can my soul separate itself from thee? And she still kissed him and embraced him, and she gave Abraham instructions concerning him. And Sarah said to Abraham, O my Lord, I pray take heed of thy son, and place thine eyes over him, for I have no other son nor daughter but him. Oh, forsake him not, for if he be hungry, give him bread. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. Do not let him go on foot, neither let him sit in the sun. Neither let him go by himself in the road, neither force him from whatever he may desire, but do unto him as he may say to thee. And Sarah wept bitterly the whole night on account of Isaac, and she gave him instructions till morning. I'll tell you something right now. How many mothers love their sons that much? I know my mother didn't care about me like that. Not even a tenth of that. Not even 1% of that. Can you imagine having that kind of love from your mother? We're in an age today where it says that in the final days that the love of many would wax cold. And I know why it would wax cold too. You can only be beat up so many times, physically, spiritually, mentally, or whatever it might be, financially, whatever, until you're desensitized to the right things. Verse 14. And in the morning, Sarah selected a very fine and beautiful garment from those garments which she had in the house, and Abimelech had given to her. And she dressed Isaac her son therewith. No, she didn't put a female's garment on Isaac, by the way. That's an abomination to the father, okay? I suppose the queers could say, well, see, Abimelech gave her some clothes and she put those on to Isaac. See, that's how Yahweh blesses queers. No, that's you're off kilter there, feller. Okay, so she dressed Isaac her son therewith, and she put a turban upon his head, and she enclosed a precious stone in the top of the turban, and she gave them provision for the road. And they went forth, and Isaac went with his father Abraham, and some of their servants accompanied them to see them off the road. And Sarah went out with them, and she accompanied them upon the road to see them off. And they said to her, return to the tent. And when Sarah heard the words of her son Isaac, she wept bitterly, and Abraham her husband wept with her, and their son wept with them a great weeping. All those who went with them wept greatly. And Sarah caught hold of her son Isaac, and she held him in her arms, and she embraced him and continued to weep with him. And Sarah said, who knoweth if after this day I shall ever see thee again? She had the woman's intuition. She knew something was up with this. And she probably suspected that something was happening and she wasn't being told the full truth about it, because it would have killed her probably. You know what I mean? And they still wept together. Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac, and all those that accompanied them on the road wept with them. And Sarah afterward turned away from her son, weeping bitterly, and all the men servants and maid servants returned with her to the tent. And Abraham went with Isaac, his son, to bring him up as an offering before Yahweh, as he had commanded him. Notice that there's no delay. There's no Abraham contemplating, should I obey or should I not obey? I mean, his obedience is impeccable. It's remarkable. It's astounding. It's immediate. It's full. It's without question. I mean, myself, I would question, I would say, but Father, this is the only son to continue our race. If I should kill him, what would we do? You see, that's how I would have looked at it. But Abraham is in full trust. No fear. He's sad about it. He's coming to tears over it. But he's willing to obey. He knows that the Father giveth and the Father can take away at any time he wishes. The YouTube believes that their God, they giveth you a channel and they'll take it away. I suspect it's gone by now, today, right now. I don't know. But I must say that Abraham is the key example. A lot of people look to Moses, but Abraham is much higher than Moses, in my view. When you think of obedience, it's incredible. I would have questioned the Father, I think, anyway. And Abraham went with Isaac his son to bring him up as an offering before Yahweh as he commanded him. And Abraham took two of his young men with him, Ishmael, son of Hagar, and Eliezer, his servant. Hey, there's Eliezer, the stone, one who stoned the judge. And believe it or not, he's bringing Ishmael, the one who wanted to kill him. And they went together with them, and whilst they were walking in the road, the young men spoke these words to themselves. And Ishmael said to Eliezer, "Now my father Abraham is going with Isaac to bring him up for a burnt offering to Yahweh, as he commanded him." Now when he returneth, he will give unto me all that he possesses to inherit after him, for I am his firstborn. This fellow's thinking of materialism. His brother's going to be sacrificed, and all he can think of is that he will receive the blessing. See, one thing you've got to notice, that ever since Cain was born, the father rejected the firstborn until Christ came. That broke that spell, if you call it a spell. Ishmael's the firstborn. Esau's the firstborn. Cain's the firstborn. You understand? And Eliezer answered Ishmael and said, "Surely Abraham did cast thee away and thy mother, and swear that thou shouldest not inherit anything of all that he possesses. And to whom will he give all that he has with all his treasures, but unto me as his servant, who has been faithful in his house, who has served him day and night, and has done all that he desireth me? To me will he bequeath at the death all that he possesses." Remember that Yeshua said that in the house, the servant, he may abide in the house, but not forever, but the son shall abide forever. You see? It's very interesting when you think about what I'm telling you there. And whilst Abraham was proceeding with his son Isaac along the road, Satan came and appeared to Abraham in the figure of a very aged man, humble and of contrite spirit. Let's stop right there. So the devil, who is now in the material plane, he's left his first estate, And when he came down here, he changed into the material plane for good. Satan came and appeared. He could appear in the figure of a very aged man, humble and of a contrite spirit, which means he could do this to you too, you see. And he approached Abraham and said to him, "Art thou silly or brutish that thou goest to do this thing this day to thine only son?" See how it's his only son. And in the same way, Christ is God's only son, they say, right? But you see the typification of it. You can see the parallel here, that God gave his only begotten, right? But you see, there's got to be something wrong with that, because the Son of God is Abraham. And we know that there are other sons of God too, right? We know that we are the offspring in the Adamic race, and we are the sons of God. But we are men. Christ called himself the Son of Man rather than the Son of God. Did you realize that? Yeah, you think about that for a while. That's right, you do think about that for a while. It's wonderful. So here it is, the devil, who's usually trying to destroy the race, is trying to destroy obedience, Abraham's obedience. While the servant and the bond child are arguing over the garments, casting lots for the garments, you understand, like the Roman soldiers, this is going on in the background. Or is it the foreground? Listen, like he said, listen to this devil's words. He approached Abraham and said unto him, "Art thou silly or brutish?" In other words, are you losing your mind? Are you living... are you so much of an animal that you're going to kill your own child? Are you senile? Listen, art thou silly or brutish that thou goest to do this thing this day to thine only son? Just like Christ is thine only son, right? The only begotten of the Father. Or so it says in the King James Bible. That's not true. It's that he's the only begotten of the Father. Think about that for a while. We'll have to dissect that in the Greek to find out what it means, the only begotten of the Father, because he's not the only begotten of the Father. For God gave thee a son in the latter days, in thy latter days, in thy old age. And wilt thou go and slaughter him this day because he committed no violence? And wilt thou cause the soul of thine only son to perish from the earth? Now this is a filthy, rotten devil who accuses people of not things they don't do and commits violence upon them for no reason at all. If the Father said about with Job to the devil that he allowed him to go and take everything from him and do this and do that to him, this devil waited not even a second to commit the violence upon Job. He didn't wait a second. He didn't contemplate it. He didn't say, "Well, geez, Job doesn't deserve this. He didn't do anything wrong." He pounced on him immediately. And here he is playing the other side. The Father has him playing the other side of the card. This time, he's trying to advocate for the son of Abraham and say, well, he has done nothing wrong and you're going to kill him? He's trying to work on every little aspect of it. Dost thou not know and understand that this thing cannot be from Yahweh? For Yahweh cannot do unto man such evil upon the earth to say to him, go slaughter thy child. And yet the devil and his offspring have done that very thing with Molech and other gods, right? Casting your children into the fire. You see what hypocrite, you talk about the ultimate hypocrite, the all-time loser, the devil, is the ultimate hypocrite. You see that? Because that proves that he's, the Jews are his offspring because they are the biggest hypocrites upon the earth today. You know it's true, and I know it's true. So get a load of this devil. And Abraham heard this and knew that it was the word of Satan, who endeavored to draw him aside from the way of Yahweh. Remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. By me, what does he mean by that? By the word, the way. The way is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh, and we beheld his glory, and here it is, as the only begotten of the Father. Well, his glory is the word. The word is glorified because the word is truth, and truth is glorified, and truth is in the body of Yahweh. Truth is in him, and when he speaks it forth, he brings forth the world. He puts the universe in order. He tells the truth to the Jewish offspring, the devils, that generation of vipers, and they become angry and want to kill him for telling that truth. That truth is something they hate. They hate the way of Yahweh. They hate the way, the truth, and the life. And they want to kill the life. They want to kill those that tell the truth and the truth itself. And they want to keep you aside and cast you aside from staying in the way of the Father. So listen again. And Abraham heard this and knew that he was the word of Satan, that it was the word of Satan, who endeavored, what did the devil want him to do? To draw him aside from the way of Yahweh. But Abraham would not hearken to the voice of Satan. Listen to this now. And Abraham rebuked him so that he went away. Get it? There are people trying to get us at EFR to stop preaching and this and that. They're trying to get us to get out of the way. They want to remove us from the way. But we know the voice of the devil, just like Abraham does, and we rebuke them. Because we're going to stay in the way of the Father. We're going to obey him to the best of our ability. I don't know if I can do it as good as Abraham. He's something else, boy. Well, boys and girls. So once the devil realized he was getting nowhere with Abraham, he knew he could try with Isaac and began to do that as well. See, he didn't even have to go to the other two. They were already thinking of who's going to get what. Ishmael and Eliezer, okay? And Satan returned and came to Isaac, and he appeared unto Isaac in the figure of a young man, comely and well-favored. Now, why did he come to Abraham as an old man who was a man of old age? And let me see what it said. Let's go right to it. He came to Abraham in the figure of a very aged man, humble and of contrite spirit. Why did he do that? because he felt that Abraham would respect such a character. He came in his own sort of age group, too, so that it was one of his peers. Get it? Because why do I say that? Well, I'll explain it to you very quickly. When Satan came to Isaac, listen how he came to him. And Satan returned and came to Isaac, and he appeared unto Isaac in the figure of a young man, comely and well-favored. Get it? One of his peers. Somebody he would respect. Somebody he may even look up to. Somebody who he may trust his word. And he approached Isaac and said unto him, "Dost thou not know and understand that thy old silly father bringeth thee to the slaughter this day for nothing, for naught?" Thy old silly father. In other words, the old senile man, he's gone off kilter now. He should know better than to sacrifice you. You didn't do anything. You're an innocent man. And if he kills you, it's his only son. Now here's somebody who had Ishmael pointing arrows at him. You understand? So let's continue. This is amazing. It really is. Verse 31. "Now therefore, my son, do not listen nor attend to him, for he is a silly old man, and let not thy precious soul and beautiful figure be lost from the earth." He would have had a better shot if this be a female, you see, with the beautiful figure and the compliments and all that kind of stuff. But he is working on those compliments on Isaac, you see. And he's trying to convince him that his dad's a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you understand? Listen, he's old, he's senile, he's not thinking properly, he's been drinking out of aluminum cans, you know what I mean? He's got maybe taken too much of the medications from the pharmacia, you know? He's a little crazy. He's off kilter. You can't trust this old, silly old man. "And let not thy precious soul and beautiful figure be lost from the... If any man love his life, he shall surely lose it. If any man lose his life for my sake, he shall keep it." See? "And Isaac heard this and said to Abraham, Hast thou heard my father? That which this man has spoken, even thus has he spoken." So Isaac was not in tune like Abraham was. He didn't realize it was the devil. So he spoke with his father about it to see maybe what his father's reaction would be. "And Abraham answered his son Isaac and said to him, Take heed of him and do not listen to his words, nor attend to him, for he is Satan, endeavoring to draw us aside this day from the commands of Yahweh." I'm just stopping right there for just a moment. Who wants to stop you from the commands of Yahweh but the devil and his children? If he commanded you not to eat the pig, and you're eating the pig, the devil's children have got you, drawn you aside from the commandments of the Father. If we're not killing these people that shouldn't be in our society, the deadheads I call them, the devil and his children has drawn us aside from obeying the commands of Yahweh. Understood? It's very clear what I'm saying to you. And so let me read this verse 33. Get it? 33 again, right? And Abraham answered his son Isaac and said unto him, take heed of him and do not listen to his words, nor attend to him, for he is Satan, endeavoring to draw us aside this day from the commands of God, O Yahweh. And Abraham still rebuked Satan, and Satan went from them. And seeing he could not prevail over them, he hid himself from them. Let's stop now. Obey Yahweh. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. That's the key, right? The key wasn't resist the devil and the devil will flee from you, but obey Yahweh, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. Let's see the evidence of that in these verses again. Ready? They want to obey. Abraham wants to obey the commands of God, of Yahweh. So what he did was he told his son, in the same way as he told the devil before, that we're not going to listen to you. We're resisting you. We're going to obey Yahweh. We're going to resist you. Get lost. And Abraham still rebuked Satan, and Satan went from them. And seeing he could not prevail over them, he hid himself from them. You want to be an overcomer? Want the key to being an overcomer? You must obey. Yeah, haven't we been talking about that obedience is everything? The key to prayer, it's everything. When you think of Abraham, I want you to think of obedience. And that's why Abraham is such a great man in the Bible. One of the greatest men of our race. The only one that could obey more than him is Yeshua himself, as far as I know. I'd say Abraham was probably number two in the obedience. Number one, but Yeshua himself, of course, couldn't disobey his own word, you see? Or his word couldn't disobey him. For he and his word are one. Together. A man is only as good as his word, you see? A God is only as good as his word. You see what I'm saying? Now, we've seen Satan show himself in two different forms at this point. And here comes the third. And Abraham still rebuked him. I'm going to read it again. And Satan went from them, and seeing he could not prevail over them, he hid himself from them, and he went and passed before them in the road. Listen to this. And he transformed himself to a large brook of water in the road. And Abraham and Isaac and his two young men reached that place, and they saw a brook large and powerful, as the mighty waters. And they entered the brook and passed through it, and the waters at first reached their legs. And they went deeper in the brook, and the waters reached up to their necks. And they were all terrified on account of the water. Now listen. And whilst they were going over the brook, Abraham recognized that place, and he knew there was no water there before. And Abraham said to his son Isaac, I know this place in which there was no brook nor water. Now, therefore, it is this Satan who does all of this to us, to draw us aside this day from the commandments of Yahweh. I want you to think about that. Who wants to draw you away from obeying Yahweh? The devil and his offspring. Some of our people will try to draw you away too. The world will draw you away from obedience to Yahweh. You want to be an overcomer? You need to obey. And you need not to let anything draw you from it. No accusations from these poor, misguided devils. Let me just say this to you right now. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James. And until next time, study to show thyself approved.
Softly spoken words of truth lay foundations for the proof. Yahweh's wisdom is sublime, stands the test of time. Words are spoken from the heart. Let us now be set apart. O ye soldiers of the host, give your all and stand your post. Through the day and through the night, gird your loins and fight the fight. Draw your sword and speak your peace, obey his laws and never cease.